Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Right, now celebrity chefs are ten a penny these days, and they're all kind of very respectable, agreeable types, aren't they? But the original rock star chef was Marco Pierre White, and it's hard to believe, but the kind of enfant terrible of the kitchen turns 60 next week. Marco, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you? Are you looking
it's
at
nice.
This as a
mic? It's nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to talk to you again as well. Are you feeling this as a milestone, the start of a new phase in your life, turning 60?
The truth is, I didn't even think about it, Brendan. I just don't think about it. What I do think of anything is that I feel like I've been here for decades and decades, which I have actually. When I think about it, but I just don't think about growing old. I think because I've got the mind of a young man, not an old man. I mean, I just don't grow up. I mean, I'm very Peter Pan in my whole approach to life.
But you have had, I suppose, like it started with a kind of a traumatic childhood, and then you have had a sometimes kind of fairly wild, frenetic kind of life, and you know, you're kind of a force of nature. You must be mellowing out a bit more, though, as you get older, are you?
Well, I've started doing gardening, if that answers your question. I love pruning. It's extraordinary. I can spend hours and hours working in the garden. And with lockdown, I really got into gardening. And what I'm doing now with my garden, I'm applying for nature reserve status, just local nature reserve status, where the schools can come and visit 10, 15 times a year. Because everything we do is for wildlife, which is amazing.
Okay, so I'm thinking of those Bob Carlos clock pictures of you, this wild animal with massive choppers in the kitchen, but now it's a kind of a country gent with his secateurs out pruning the roses.
Well, I don't know if I'm a country gent, but I do like gardening and I like being in the garden. I like spending lots of time by myself. I mean, in the summer, I can come down at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'll just be in the garden for the rest of the day. And I just really enjoy being by myself, and then every so often someone comes and visits me, I'll have a glass of wine at lunchtime with them or something. And it's just a very nice life, and I think when you get to my age in life, you start to become nostalgic, and you start to reflect back on your life, and certain things which had little value as a young man have enormous value today, especially if I go back home to where I was brought up, and I walk through the woods and down the rivers, which I took for granted as a boy, because I was there all the time. I mean, now it just has amazing value. And it's like I speak to my oldest friend in the world, we met when we were 8 years old. And he still lives near where I lived. And he goes fishing on the river where we used to poach as kids, but now he's a member. And he tells me his exact spot where he's fishing, what method he's fishing, what he's catching, he sends me pictures. And so I suppose he fishes for me, but I do miss it enormously in my childhood, where I grew up.
Yeah. I saw you say recently that you've discovered your happiness in recent years. And it does sound like it. So, and is it you've turned inwards a little bit, because you were a madly social creature and 20-hour lunches and 50 bottles of wine and all that. But turning into a quieter space in you, yeah?
Well, I suppose, like most young men, we have a sort of interesting early life. Yes, we did have lots of wine and lots of long lunches and long evenings. About 2008, 2009, I took custody of my children. And so that's where my life really started to change, when my boys were 10 and 12. And I had to bring my boys up. That's when my life really changed, was actually being a full-time father rather than working, being a restaurateur. And so, I mean, so therefore, that was one of those defining moments in my life where I had to become a father and a mother, a little like my own father and a little like his father, where my grandfather brought up his children, his three sons, on his own. And then after my mother's death, my father brought up me and my brothers. And then history repeated itself with me, where I had to bring up my sons. And so...
Yeah, no, look, I'm sure their mother would say that she had a hand in it too. But it's interesting, you mention your own father, who was left to bring you up after your mother died. But I would say he didn't probably do it in an entirely successful and healthy way. So I presume there was a strong drive in you to break that cycle as well, was there?
Well, I think what happened was, if I reflect back on my life, is firstly, it was very traumatic, age six, watching my mother die. And my father's way of dealing with my mother's death was, she was eradicated. It was like she never existed. He never spoke about her. We never had photographs of her in the house. It's like she was never there. And so that internal pain was with me. And then what happened was, I went to work for certain chefs who were very strong characters, and they suppressed me. So all that internal hurt actually turned into a fuel, which made me work enormous hours, driven by and fueled by my insecurities and my fear of failure. The thought of being sacked and having to go home and tell my father that I'd been sacked was so terrifying that I just worked and worked and worked. And that's what I did. And then I got my first restaurant when I was just 24. And I had no management skills. I'd never dealt with the public before. I'd never had to manage staff before. And so that early period where they labeled me the enfant terrible, maybe there's an element of truth in that. But it's, you know, like most young men, it's about growing up. Really. Mm. And in the end, we have to grow up and we have to take responsibility.
Mm. And it's interesting you say that it was the kids crystallized that for you, because they do change your priorities, don't they? And I, like, for example, I see you're opening a big new restaurant in the West End in London, Mr. White's, and it sounds massive. You're doing pizzas, steaks, whatever. But I saw that you're doing it basically for security for your kids. So this is not you indulging your passion or anything like that.
No.
This is about, it's now important to for you to set it down for the next generation, yeah?
Well, I think what's important is to give your children responsibility. Like, where I'm sitting now belongs to my daughter, and she's 20 in 2 weeks' time, and she is now learning the ropes. And I think what's very important, by giving children responsibility, it's like Luciano's now running his chain of Luciano restaurants. He's got three of them now. Just the third one's just about to open. And by giving children responsibility, where they have to work hard and take on board responsibility, I think what it does do, because it's too easy for a child who's had privilege in his life, or her life, is to become, what's the word I'm looking for?
Do you know what the phrase you could be looking for is, that there's a phrase in Ireland, after the gathering, a scattering.
That self-entitlement, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that self-entitlement. And I would never want my children to be self-entitled, I think. And I think what's very important is that the children should know that their father worked very hard to create those few privileges they have in life and those opportunities they have in life, rather than just taking it for granted. And I want them to build these businesses with me. Yeah. And as I say, they're the owners. I'm just almost like a consigliere. I'm an advisor. I guide them. I share my stories. I share my knowledge.
I love it. I have a picture now of like a mafia film where they come and see you and you're in the garden pruning the roses and you just give them these kind of bits of wisdom.
I'll never be growing tomatoes. I will never have a tomato plantation, that's for sure.
So listen, have the businesses suffered a lot in the pandemic?
Oh, it's been extraordinary, because when you think we have lots of businesses and when you think where I'm sitting now, we in total we've been closed over a year, and it's been very difficult. Okay, we've still got our business, but unfortunately some people have lost their businesses, some people have lost family members, and so I can't complain. Touch wood, I've lost no family members and we've lost no businesses. And as business is now very strong in the UK.
And in Ireland, you've two restaurants here.
Donnybrook and Dawson Street.
Yeah.
I mean, Dawson Street is now back firing on all four cylinders. Donnybrook is doing really well. But sadly, because of the pandemic and the fears of passing the virus on, that one or two parties have cancelled. And there's more smaller tables of two and four. But, you know, everyone's working hard and we're very fortunate that we've still got a business.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people, unfortunately, have lost their businesses, and I think the first quarter of next year is going to be devastating.
Really, do you think that's when it'll crystallise and a lot of businesses will be gone?
I think a lot of businesses will unfortunately go into administration in the first quarter of next year. I think it's going to be very, very, very tough. And it's about building your systems now and you know, being lean, really, keeping your businesses lean. Because it's very easy to over-employ. It's very easy to get your stock levels wrong. And so, therefore, you really have to work out your business 6-7 days a week.
Mm. Listen, I was surprised to see that you have become a kind of an advocate for, is it a 3D printed vegan meat? Like, I imagine you eating like raw bloody steak every day for lunch and dinner, but you are really, I don't know if they're paying you or what, but you're very enthusiastic.
I'm going to turn you into my Catholic priest and make a confession to you on Irish Radio Live, is that for 9 months of my life, I was a vegan.
Okay.
Which was an extraordinary journey. Because I love vegetables, because the way my mother used to cook, the way my family cook, it's peasant food, really, in Italy or in Spain.
Yeah.
And you get you might do a stew of butter beans, for example, with one little piece of pig in, one little piece of black pudding in. And 90% of what you're eating is vegetable. So is I was brought up that way. Or like a chickpea or chickpeas or you know, the cannellini beans. You know, so therefore, just eating pasta. So as a boy, growing up with my mother, until she died, I was basically a vegetarian. And then when my mother passed, a lot of the dishes that she did were continued to be made in the house. And so I love vegetarian food. It's like I went to Sri Lanka for 3 weeks and I didn't eat meat once and I didn't miss it once.
So the thing is this then, right? And I'm with you on that. But then... Would we not just enjoy vegetables when we're having vegetables and have them as vegetables? And then now and again, when you want a bit of meat and treat it as a treat and as something valuable and pay enough for it and everything and just have less meat. But like, I don't know, I find this idea of making fake meat out of vegetables.
It's plant-based.
Yeah.
And when I was a vegan for 9 months, the one thing which made me revert back was I never felt fulfilled. So I'd have my lunch, and then an hour later I'd be hungry again. And the redefined meat, the lamb and the beef, is an extraordinary product. It's the cleverest product I've ever seen in 45 years of being in the kitchen. It's just extraordinary.
And you're telling me if you put that in front of me now, a hunk of that, and you didn't tell me, would I in any way think I was eating
May
a steak?
Not. If I did a beef bourguignon with the beef, for example, or if I did the mince and I did a bolognese with the mince and served it with a gnocchi, I think if you didn't know about redefined meat, and know that I was linked to it, you may not even question it. I mean, it's that clever. If I did an avocado of lamb, you just think, wow, it's very, very, very clever.
And are you going to start serving up vegan steaks in your steakhouses?
Yeah, from January, all the restaurants, it will become brand standard. All restaurants will serve the beef and the lamb.
There's lamb as well.
Mm.
And
it's a nice alternative, but it's got the texture of meat. It's as I say, it's the cleverest thing. It tastes of meat, and there's something very beautiful and very clever about it. And as I say, it's not there to replace meat. It's an alternative. So if you want to cut a bit of meat out of your diet, then you could have redefined meat. As I said, you could do a beef bourguignon. You could do a navlon of lamb. You could do a beef steak with redefined meat, a la lyonnaise with the mustard, with the fried onions, and just some onion juices. I mean, it is very clever.
And what will you be charging for a real steak versus a fake steak?
Oh, it'll be a lot less. It'll be a lot less.
Yeah. What's it made of?
A lot less. It's made of soy and pea.
Okay, and does it get the sinewiness of meat and everything? And you know that,
when I first ever looked at it, I snapped it in half, and it looked like, I'll tell you what it looked like. If you can imagine braising a cheek of beef in that old-fashioned way, a daub of beef, and when it's cold, you just snap it in half. It looks exactly the same. Say with the lamb, you snap it in half. It looks like a braised shank. It's got the texture of a braised shank of lamb.
Okay. Marco Pierre White, you never cease to surprise anyway, and you might be getting older and mellower, but you still have a few tricks up your sleeve. So what will you be doing for Christmas? All the family gathering? Will you be cooking a 3D printed turkey for them?
No, they haven't started 3D turkey yet.
Really?
But I will be cooking a nettle-fed woodland turkey. My friend has a wood, and he has his turkeys there, and he feeds them nettles all through the summer. And they are the most delicious birds. And I'll be cooking the crowns rather than a whole bird. And with the legs, I make a chestnut and truffle stuffing. But I insist on roasting the turkey and making the gravy. And other members of the family can do all those little bits. But I cook the turkey so it's nice and moist and delicious. And I make the gravy because the gravy is the key. The best lunch in the world, roast lunch.
Yeah. Well, look, I have to say I've never met a turkey that was moist and delicious, but I'll trust you on that one.
My advice to your listeners is buy a meat probe, roast a crown, which you can get in Lidl.
Yeah.
Roast a crown.
Or other supermarkets.
Oh, I'm just saying, I've only had the ones from Lidl.
Okay, or other supermarkets,
Or other supermarkets, but all other supermarkets. And buy a meat probe, and when you cook it to 64 degrees Celsius, then take it out and cover with tinfoil and just give it a rest and you will have the perfect roast turkey. And it's worth investing in a meat probe. I use them.
Okay. Listen, Marco Pierre White, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Happy Christmas and stay safe.
Yes, and you too.
And love to your listeners, and happy Christmas to all your listeners and everybody in Ireland who's listening to you.
Yeah, and happy birthday to you from everyone.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoy
a nice
long lunch.
Next time in Ireland, our paths will cross and we can have a glass of wine and some redefined meat.
Absolutely, we'll see about that. A lot of people are quite keen on the idea of the vegan meat products, and look, I know that they are the future, but Judy in Offaly makes the point, cattle eat plants, therefore cattle meat is plant-based. Judy in Offaly, and that's...
Well, with that logic, you could say...
But you're still there. What?
With that logic, Brandon, you can say cigarettes are plant-based.
Yeah, listen, it's true. They actually are. They could sell them meat-free cigarettes. Okay, Marco Pierre White, thank you.
You are a very funny man, Brandon.
I thought you were... Oh,
Christmas.
Stop now.
Love
stop.
You
get
all.
Out of here. We'll take a break.